In our lives, there's always a sense of what deeper is. Deeper sex, deeper love, deeper spirituality, deeper openness. And so all of us are walking around with a sense of, are we deepening and opening, which are the same thing, deepening and opening, or are we getting tight and contracted and closing and turning away? So when we're with, say, our lover, or even with the mountains, we could really feel them. We could feel nature. We could feel our lover and open with them. We could open really deeply, have extraordinary heart-moving experiences. Or we could be in our head thinking of what we have to do later today and walk around tents and not even notice the rainbow, not even notice the rainbow of our lover. So what spiritual growth is each of us opening and deepening more and more and more in our own ways. What non-spiritual growth is each of us closing, separating, and pushing away more and more. And obviously those things happen moment by moment. You might be open, then push away. But growth is more openness over time. When you open, your body, when you open your breath, when you just relax and go, and allow yourself to totally be with whoever you're with nature. It's a beautiful place here. Two things become easily apparent very quickly, and that is some of us open in the masculine style, and some of us open in the feminine style. Now, these styles aren't gender-dependent. All of us can open as both. And some women open much more masculinely than some men, and some men much more femininely than some women. So they're not gender-dependent. We'll talk about that, perhaps. To open in your masculine is to face death. The masculine, and anyone in a masculine moment, loves to face death. Nothing turns them on more, whether it's rock climbing and almost about to fall, or watching a football game, or meditating at the edge of infinity. There's the quality of, just think of all the things masculine people enjoy doing, really enjoy doing. I mean, everything from race car driving to, you know, dangerous sports and so forth. They're all right at the edge of life and death. And when a man or a masculine woman is in that moment, they feel more alive than they've ever felt in their life. They actually feel more open. So I used to live in Hawaii, and there are some big waves there. And when you're surfing big waves, it's very dangerous. And people who would do that would describe it essentially as a spiritual experience. As I'm sure all of you have had moments when you completely opened. Well, if those moments were facing death, challenging yourself entirely, one slip and you're about to die, you probably have what I call a masculine essence. If that's not how you open, if instead you open more through the flow of love, through communion with people, through the senses. So in other words, if I were to turn on great music, really good music, and we had strawberries dipped in chocolate along the walls, and all of you who have what I would call a feminine essence would begin to open very easily. See, you're laughing, you're opening now. Just talking about the strawberries, the music. So the feminine essence opens in response to energy. The feminine is energy. The feminine is life force. And that's why we call nature Mother Nature instead of Father Nature. Because nature itself, life force, the amount of life force you have moving through your body, the life force that you see in nature, the life force that moves the planets, that beats your hearts, is feminine. The more you are open to that life force, the more you shine feminine radiance. And what beauty is that shine of feminine radiance. And so if you're closing your body and you're breathing really shallow, then there's not a lot of space for feminine radiance to really shine. So you go, hi. I mean, you could eat well, you could exercise, you could put on makeup, but if you're walking around like this, not a lot of radiance can shine through your body. And so the capacity to open to that energy is your feminine capacity. And if you have a more feminine essence, you identify more with that feminine capacity than your masculine. Then when I turned on really nice music and we had really delicious food and maybe we had really beautiful fabrics we were all playing with, silk, colored silk. And so all of you who are now smiling are going, you have a feminine essence. You could feel the energy of that, and it turns you on. It opens your heart. It moves energy in your body. So to open in our feminine is to open for energy to move through us to shine. Now, if you've ever seen somebody fall in love, They get bright. Have you ever seen somebody? I mean, they shine more when they're in love. That's because light is what love looks like. Love is the feeling of light. So if you walk outside and it's a perfect Telluride day, whatever that means to each of you, let's say it's like just there's rainbows and you take it all in and your heart just goes, do you know, you open in love just from the light. The same thing is when you open in love, you shine light. So love and light are the same thing. Love is what light feels like. So as you open in your feminine, especially men and women, your heart shines, your body shines, your eye shines, you become more radiant, you become more alive as Mother Nature, as a feminine being of light. Now that is what the masculine finds sexy. What the masculine side of the world finds sexy in the feminine side of the world is that light. So they might find it sexy in Telluride. They might fly here from New York City and get out and go, oh, yeah, and be turned on. You know, there's almost a sexual passion to it, just seeing the slopes or whatever they're looking at. Or they might see a beautiful woman who just, by beautiful, again, what I mean is her body is open, her smile, she smiles and just light fills the room. Raise your hand, man or woman, if you know what I'm talking about, that kind of person. Great, thank you. Hi. You can sit down in front, please. There's only room here. D.
Sorry about that.
You're going to be examples in a moment. So that openness, that shine, the energy moving through your body is your feminine capacity. The capacity to be absolutely present, like we were describing the big wave surfer, you're going down, you're rock climbing on a really dangerous ledge. And so the smallest lack of presence is either your death or at least pain. The reason boxing matches are so turn on men or the masculine so much is because there's two guys essentially facing death. Now, they're usually not literally facing death, but, you know, get punched by, you know, a 200-pound heavyweight boxer is not pleasant. So they're boxing, and the feel of it for the masculine is that one false move, one lack of presence, and bam, they get smacked. And that's what makes the masculine bloom, total presence. In fact, the masculine is total presence when it's open. And in fact, that is what the feminine side of the universe finds sexy in the masculine, total presence. So when you're with your man, say, and he's like, oh, yeah, hi, sure. And he's all over the place. And, one second. One second. What were you saying? How sexy is that? That, right? It doesn't really turn you on. But if you were with a man or masculine partner who walks right up to you and looks into your eyes and is totally there with you, then it's like, right? Now, men often wonder what sexy is, because, you know, for 5 years, Henry Kissinger was the sexiest man in the world. Harrison Ford is the sexiest man in the world now. What women find sexy isn't necessarily well-defined features. You know, a handsome man is always excellent, but that's not necessarily, there could be a handsome idiot who's nowhere near as sexy as a plain-looking, absolutely present, charismatic, genius, athletic, whatever, you know, Buddha.
Take him.
Yeah, take him, exactly. Well, you're A, you're that man. We'll get to that in a second. So what the feminine finds sexy in the masculine is that depth and quality of presence. And the way masculine people can cultivate that is by facing death. Whether it's actually facing death in a dangerous sport, or spiritually it could be facing what can be called ego death, the death of yourself. You know, if you haven't noticed, men feel very self-important. You know, I've got my mission. I'm on my way. Don't bother me. You know, do you know that quality or not? Is this a foreign country? I just want to try. Raise your hand, ladies, if you know that quality. Okay. It helps me to know that we're communicating, because maybe men around here aren't like that. So that said it all. We'll get into that. Single-mindedness is one way of doing it. Modality, one thing at a time. If a really masculine... Now, this is a spectrum. Some people are extremely masculine. Some people are more towards the balance of masculine and feminine. Some people are really feminine. So there's a full spectrum that we can each incarnate. But when you're really at the masculine side of the spectrum, as this man said, you're one-pointed, you're modal. It's like you're waxing the car, and that's what you're doing. Not now I'm waxing the car. You know, you're getting your orange juice. You know, someone's talking to you. You know, there's the quality of the masculine one thing at a time. But there's many other qualities. That quality of presence, of being there, is very important. And as that deepens, that quality of being there opens people into infinity, into the same openness that the masculine feels facing death and the feminine feels in the best possible sex, or dancing to the best music, wearing your favorite clothes, eating strawberries dipped in chocolate. The feminine opens through the world of senses and energy. The masculine opens through this facing the edge. And when they come together, you have a full polarity, an arc of energy between the two that is sexual attraction. And that also actually is the basis for spiritual growth. So we're going to talk about that. If you have a feminine essence, if deep in your heart what opens you is the flow of love, that is, if you go to the movies, love stories open you more than martial arts movies, let's say, then you have a feminine essence. If you have a masculine essence, probably martial arts movies or war stories actually open you more, are more emotionally moving to you than love stories. Now, love stories can move everyone, and war stories can move everyone, but people have their preferences, yeah? Now, what has happened in our culture is because we could call the old style masculine was macho rigidity. So we had this old style of masculine men where it's like, hey, I hate love stories, only war stories, hey, don't bother me, I'm busy now. This kind of macho jerk quality of... Do you know someone like that? No, no. So this rigid, narrow masculine is the old style. And so men have grown beyond that by cultivating aspects of their feminine. So in the 1950s, men had real short hair and walked rigidly, and no man would cry. And, you know, I'm the breadwinner, I'll take care of you. And then 60s, 70s, men started... You know, it's like, hey, we don't want to be that rigid. Let's enjoy life. Let's enjoy energy. And they began to cultivate their feminine. They grew their hair longer, wore, you know, more jewelry, earrings, much more colorful clothing in the 50s, you know, the 60s. And they all moved to Telluride. So the masculine all over the world, really, different places at different times, men began cultivating their internal feminine too. So men became more balanced. They became able to flow like the feminine, able to dance, able to move, able to enjoy life, able to enjoy music. But a lot of those men actually lost touch with what was their masculine core, their need for challenge, their need for knowing their purpose, their need for facing death. And any woman knows that kind of man. They're like this. Sure, whatever. Okay. What do you want to do? I don't care. It's up to you. I mean, whatever you want to do is fine with me. Because they learn to give a woman space. I mean, they used to be like, we're going to the movie, shut up, get in the car, that's that. You know, and that was entertaining for some years. But after a while, men and women said, that, you know, that's a narrow masculine rigidity. So then the men went, duh-duh. Okay, what do you want to do? Now, that's better. Usually, it's less abusive for the most part. It's safe. You get a lot of safe men. But how many of you women are actually passionately turned on by a man in that mode? Some of you might be, but not a lot of you probably. In fact, the more feminine you are in your core, the more, even if you have one of these sensitive and safe men, the more, you know, the biker who pulls into town is going to turn you on, even though you go, shh, I'm not going to really do that. Maybe. You know, that feeling, you know, where, you know, you don't really, really want to be with them, but, God, you wish. You know what I'm talking about? Now, women, in the same time when men were kind of macho jerks, and I'm, of course, generalizing, we'll go into much more subtlety as we go on. See, women were submissive housewives. So you had the macho jerk, you know, I'll take care of the money. well, I'll stay home and take care of the kids, and I'll make it beautiful, and I'll make sure I'm beautiful for you when you come home, and I'll do my hair, and I'll... Hi, are you home, dear? Come here, I love you. Oh, I didn't mean to interrupt you. You know, just this feminine rigidity, the same rigidity that the masculine has, but in the feminine. Radiance is beautiful, but when you're only allowed to be radiant, you're not allowed to have an opinion, you're not allowed to have a direction, it feels squished, right? So, well, maybe not anymore, but we'll get to that. So in the old days, what we had a kind of submissive housewives and macho jerks. So like the men, women in the 50s and growing into the 60s and 70s went, I don't want a man telling me what to do. I want my own life. I want my own direction. I want to be able to live my life fully. I want my opinion understood. I want people to hear me. I want to affect the world. I don't want to just stay in my little house dressed in pink, you know. So women began cultivating their masculine sword. In fact, in the 60s and 70s, things like assertiveness training was actually a big thing. So women who previously would never interrupt their men now learned to go, excuse me? Men were like, okay. And men had to learn to allow that. So there was a period where women cultivated their sword, cultivated their capacity to assert their direction, cultivated their capacity to face death, which in the corporate situation or a business situation, that's what it is. I mean, you walk up and you say, fine, do that. I'm going to cut you down. You know, like, well, I'm going to cut. It's a masculine domain business. And so for women to participate in it, they needed to cultivate their masculine competition, challenge, goals. Anytime you're in a goal mood, like you're here, the goal's there, how do you get there? That's your direction. That's your masculine. And your capacity to achieve those goals is your masculine capacity. You know, men who can't achieve goals, I don't know what I'm going to do today. Never did. That they're not very sexy. But men who go, well, I got 5 minutes with you, then I'll be back. I have some important business meeting. Did it back totally. You know, someone who's totally present because they know where they are, why they're there, where they're going. That feels good. You could trust someone like that. So the masculine is the force of directionality, and you could cultivate your directionality, open your masculine. And women did this. So they, instead of being submissive housewives, they cultivated their direction, their masculine, and became very directed. Women, career women, we'll call them, but they, you know, they're not necessarily a career woman. But it's the quality of dressing for success, getting up. You have your daytime, or you got your list of things to do. You know, it, women didn't used to, weren't supposed to do that in the 50s. You know, and so now what we have is we have a bunch of balanced whole people. We have women whose hearts are longing for love and loving to dance to fantastic music and open sensuality and feeling and nature and sexuality, and men who are spending the day in with their daytimers achieving their goals. And that creates a kind of stress in the body. In fact, right now, if you feel any tension in your body at all and you're a woman, it's probably because your body's not open. You're not breathing fully. You're not enjoying life. You're not feeling love moving through you. If we brought the best lover, your perfect lover, into this room, whoever that is, anyone from, I don't know, Moses to Fabio, and and you know, your perfect lover just came up and embraced you, you know, and held you, and you go, oh, there'd be an instant swoon in your body opening. Well, why aren't you swooned now? You're not swooned now because you're not allowed, you either haven't allowed yourself to be radiant enough to attract that kind of man, or you're not allowing yourself to receive the moment like that. We'll get to that in a moment. And we have men here who might be tense in their body, and if they are, if they're masculine men, it's because they don't know their deepest direction. They don't know their deepest purpose for being alive, and therefore able to live it moment by moment. The capacity to know your deepest purpose for being alive and then align your life with that so you live it moment by moment. No moment is wasted. It's all totally, it could be enjoyed completely, but then you've chosen to enjoy those moments. It's a totally chosen life. Unless you live that way, your masculine gets, well, I don't know. I like my job. It's not great. You could be totally successful at your purpose, at your mission, and still not feel fulfilled if it's not your deepest purpose in life. And most men, you know, what happens is most men, probably in their 40s is the biggest time. It could happen in your 20s. But by the time most men reach their 40s, they feel like, well, I've done what I thought I'd do. So what? It's like, well, got a great wife, got great kids, got a business or whatever that they have. Okay, now what? Or it just doesn't touch them as deeply as they need to be touched. Likewise, women, again, in their 40s, it could happen in your teens, but often by the time you're in your 40s or late 30s, you know, women are feeling like, well, I've had 10 relationships or one relationship, and he's a great guy or they've been great guys. This isn't quite it. In fact, every time you have sex, probably, if you're a woman, there's a quality, even, there's a quality like, you know, I'd like it a lot deeper and more open, as we were talking about at the beginning, than this. So what happens is we've grown from submissive housewives and macho jerks into these whole and balanced people, but still in our hearts, there's a deep dissatisfaction. And the next step to take, which is what these workshops are about and talks and all of my books are about, is a step from attempting to arrange your life and your relationships to be satisfied. That never works. So you move from that to a whole different disposition in life. But first you have to come to that point. So if any of you think that you can have a relationship that will totally fulfill you, you just haven't had enough relationships yet. I'm serious. Or you've only been in one for like a year and you're in the stage of like... So if any of you really feel like you're still waiting for the relationship or waiting for the relationship you're in to get to a deeper, more loving place, and that one day you'll be with the perfect partner or your partner will become the perfect partner, you know, I swear standing on this ground that that will never happen. You could have a really good partner, but there'll still be a part of you that's going, okay? Likewise, you could have any job, any career that you want. You could make a zillion dollars. You could be Bill Gates. And, you know, it's good. It's good to have a good partner. It's good to have billions of dollars. But it doesn't... When you see Bill Gates, you know, it's not like he's like radiant Jesus, you know, beaming love to all beings or whatever you consider, you know, what an open man would be. He's a good guy, it seems. I don't know. Some people are anti-Microsoft for various reasons. But he's a good guy. But he's... It's not like his success has totally opened him, right? That should be clear. I don't have anything against Bill Gates, but just seeing him, he's just not infinitely happy. So continue trying to get good jobs, arranging your finances, doing good investments. That's all wise and healthy. Continue cultivating your intimacy, finding a good partner or cultivating a better intimacy with your present partner. Those are endless processes, open-ended processes that never result in anything but more dissatisfaction and varying degrees of pleasure and pain. I mean, good times, bad times, good times, bad times, good times, bad times, good times, bad times, good times, bad times. And after a while, and again, usually it's in your 40s, you're going like, geez, this is life? You know, this is it? So if you have come to that point, then everything I'm about to say and do addresses your life. If you haven't come to that point, then everything I'm about to say and do, you won't believe, because you'll actually believe if you get the right partner or your present partner grows enough, or if you get the right job or you change your career or you have, you know, whatever, three mistresses, a perfect job, six children who are all, two of them are geniuses, two of them are, you know, Olympic. I don't know what anyone's idea of perfection is. If you're still going for it and you actually think going for it, it's always good to go for it. But if you think going for it's going to change anything fundamental in your life, you're absolutely wrong. And you'll just have to suffer long enough to take the next step. It's kind of like, you know, it's not that, not a big deal. We do that all of our life. When we're children, how many of you had a toy as a child you really liked that you no longer play with? Everybody. I mean, you outgrow toys. That's what we're, you know, you might have had your favorite doll or toy house or trucks, and you were upset. If you remember back then, they were your universe. I mean, you'd get up, playing with them, calling your friends, double playing, and you were totally into them. It seemed, you know, you didn't know about the world of, you know, stock market investments without, you know, you're just totally involved in your thing. And then naturally, maybe when you become a teenager, you outgrow that toy and become obsessed maybe with boys and girls. So now you're spending like 5 hours a day in front of the mirror and deodorant and perfume, you know, doing whatever it is, and you're totally obsessed with a whole nother realm of being. Do you know, everyone did that, right? Not just me. So, I mean, I remember when I first discovered girls, and I didn't even know that smells existed, but I remember like taking deodorant, making sure I didn't smell, or like popping zits. And you become, I don't know, people do that, right? Raise your hand if you've ever done anything like that. Just want to say, okay. Well, then we grow beyond that. Maybe. Some of us have grown beyond that. And so you begin to not only, you know, think of your own little world of girls and boys and toys, but maybe you begin to actually care about the world a little and contribute some of your time to help others, or you have children and so you're helping them. So your world keeps expanding. Your domain of concern keeps expanding. Eventually, the domain of concern expands. It expands because you become bored. Your domain of concern expands because you become bored with where you're at. You become totally dissatisfied. That's how you know you're growing. The feeling of dissatisfaction is your feedback that you're growing. If any of you right now are dissatisfied with your life, it's because you've outgrown it. That's a beautiful thing. Of course, in our culture, you're supposed to just take Prozac and martini at that point or something. But it's a beautiful thing to become dissatisfied with your life because it means you've outgrown. It's like your toys you've outgrown. Imagine if you were expected to always play with the same toys your entire life that you had when you were 6. It would be ridiculous. Well, the toys you had when you were 20, you outgrow too.
But you don't outgrow all things, right?
Well, let's see. Let's find out. By outgrowing, I don't mean you cease enjoying. I mean, I had a pellet gun when I was a kid that I really enjoy. I still enjoy shooting. But I don't think it's going to, like, bring me enlightenment.
So you're saying that I'm going to outgrow my relationship with another person or I'm not growing?
You will become dissatisfied with the depth of your love. Now, you could certainly deepen your love with that person. You'll outgrow your present style and deepen it even further. Unless you just want to stay the way you are the rest of your life and just look in a mirror, ask people what they think about you, and you could choose that. Most people do. I mean, the argument you're giving is most people's argument. They get to the point where they try to be happy with things they think they should be. And as long as you are, you should be. I'm not saying you should leave things behind you. I'm just saying it's a totally natural process to realize you could live much more deeply than you are in every way.
You said you've been with your intimate partner for 15 years. So do you think that you're going to outgrow her one day?
Every moment, if I'm practicing fully, every moment I'm practicing, there's a sense of limitation and a sense of more depth. And so we move into the deeper depth. And then usually, being human beings, we kind of like luxuriate in our new level. Oh, everyone has grown, right? I mean, you get a new house, and for a while it's like, yes. Or you get a new boyfriend or girlfriend, for a while it's like, yes. Or whatever, and for a while it's, whew. And then it's like, what happened? I mean, the thing that made you so happy doesn't make you happy, right? So we all know that feeling. What eventually happens is you get that feeling enough. You've experienced it enough in your business and your relationship that you totally are hopeless about those fulfilling you. You just get to a point where you realize my work doesn't totally fulfill me. I might enjoy it. It might be fun. My family, as much as I love them, isn't totally fulfilling. My relationship, as much as we love each other, isn't totally fulfilling. There's something missing. And you keep trying to get that something, and it never gets there. At that point, there's something you can do that will transform your entire life that very few people know. And so you keep trying to make it work, and you get older and older and more cynical, and you use more drugs and television and whatever it is you use to fill the holes of dissatisfaction, food, you know. So if you find yourself down in the kitchen at night, eating the Haagen-Dazs or snorting your lines or masturbating in the bathroom, whatever you do. So, you're A. At once. That is a good one. Ice cream, masturbation, and all of them. Okay, so restroom break. So what we need to do, what we need to do is take the next step. And that next step comes in realizing that this entire moment, exactly how it is now, is infinitely open. That in fact, what you've been trying to get through your relationships and through your profession and everything else is the sense of infinite depth, being deep, opened, and wide openness with no bounds. Feeling outward with no bounds, wide open feeling everything totally deeply, being touched in your deepest parts, giving your deepest gifts, having those deepest gifts received, breathing those deepest gifts, moving with those deepest gifts. Yes? So, you can just do that directly. while you do your relationships and your job and your family and mountain climb, and probably while you masturbate and use drugs and eat ice cream. There's no reason to stop doing any of those if you don't want to. They're all could be enjoyable in their time, but none of them bring you total fulfillment. They never will. The only thing that will is when you open totally. And you can open totally in any moment. It takes extreme practice to be able to do that, because our habits of closure are so strong. And how many of you right now, your body is utterly relaxed? How many of you right now, your breath is like the breath that you would breathe smelling your most delicious flower or your lover? You know, just like very few of us. Most of us walk around a little less than we can be. And especially in other kinds of workshops, we're not going to do this here, but in longer workshops, we're spending days and days and days in a row with each other. You begin to realize that even when you feel open, everyone else can feel your closure. Because we're all totally blind to ourselves. It's like your eyeball will never see itself. It can't. It only, you know. Well, you will never know what you feel like to other people. And so it's often very funny in longer workshop situations where there'll be somebody going like, "I'm totally open. Fuck you. I'm totally open." And it takes a while for that person to get the reflection from everyone, everyone saying, "Well, you know, you're doing good. But you don't feel totally open." "Oh, I've never been more open in my life." And that might be true. They may never have been more open in their life, but there's still a lot more to open. And so having feedback from other people is a huge gift. The practice, then, is to open our bodies, to open our breath, to open our heart in every moment. The masculine and feminine versions of that practice, so you could feel it a little bit, and then we'll take some questions and go deeper, hopefully, is for the feminine people here, since there's slightly more of them today. Imagine your perfect lover with you now. Again, you got to really imagine who your perfect lover is. It could be your actual partner. It could be an imaginary or future partner. Imagine this person totally with you, pressing the front of their body against the front of your body, drawing you to them, looking into your eyes, breathing with you, feeling you. Looking into your eyes so deeply, they feel your heart beneath any layer of fear or resistance. Like, they feel through everything. So even when you're not, you might be in a little bit of a bad mood, they just see the true you beneath all of that. And they're looking at that true you and breathing that true you and feeling into your deep heart and loving that part of you completely. And in fact, not settling for anything less. In their presence, they demand that depth, that love, that bloom from your heart. Would that be good? Okay. This moment is with you right now as that. If you allow yourself to feel this moment completely, you can actually feel the presence of this moment right now kind of impinging on you. If you open yourself and just breathe and open, there's almost a kind of pressure. It's pleasant. It's kind of just like, take it in. Imagine you were inhaling this air in this room like a flower's air. Imagine you were embracing the moment's presence like your body's, the lover's body, right against you. Feel it, this present moment right in you. Feel it filling you sexually. This moment just filling your body. Can you feel a little bit of that? Raise your hand if you could feel a little bit of that. Okay, great. If you can breathe that, if you can practice breathing that in, opening like that for 10 minutes a day, your entire disposition will change, your life will change, you will look different. If you could practice doing that all day, whenever you remember, just through your day, going through your usual day, your entire body will feel to others as if you are in the midst of making love. And there is no greater gift to anyone, man or woman, let alone your lover, than to see a human being functioning wide open in love. You know, washing the dishes as love, talking is love, working is love. And there's the feminine style of that, but there's also the masculine style of that. Even samurai warriors, which were trained to kill, were trained to see the truth, the depth in their partner they were killing, and realize that even though they were killing them, they had to have complete honor for that person. So the American Indians, when they would kill animals, they would feel the spirit of the animal. So it's possible to actually kill, if necessary, from the place of that wide openness. So there's a masculine and a feminine way of living wide open. Now, the masculine style of that isn't so much to receive the moment deep into the body and into the breath. The masculine style is to enter the moment and open it. Just like the masculine style of lovemaking is to enter somebody's body and open the heart. And so the masculine style of is to give your deepest gift through all resistances of the moment as deeply as possible and bloom the moment open in love. So there's this tendency for the masculine, well, I'm not allowed to do that, I shouldn't do that, what am I doing? You know, there's a fear. But when the masculine can let go of that fear and realize that they exist to bloom the universe open, each individual, their lover, but the entire moment, to actually enter the moment with their consciousness and open everyone, that is the masculine gift, just like the feminine gift, is to receive the moment and everyone in the moment so completely into you, to breathe the moment and everyone into you, to feel the moment and everyone into you. Those masculine and feminine forms can be practiced with the entire moment. They can also be practiced with your lover while having sex. They could also be practiced sitting in silent meditation. They could be practiced doing sacred dance. They could be practiced washing the dishes. So the capacity to receive the moment entirely into your actual body, to breathe it in, as you did a moment ago, is the feminine spiritual practice. The capacity to enter the moment so completely, so fearlessly, that you open the moment to infinity is the masculine practice. You're that present with the moment. And when you do that, the way you look, the way you feel to others, the way your relationships are, the way your business is run, the way you hold your body, the way you breathe, the expression on your face is completely different than if you're waiting for somebody to fulfill you, than if you're waiting for the world, the universe, the job you're on to fulfill you, your lover, your family. If you're waiting, you got that look like, huh, yeah, I'm doing great, how are you doing? Meanwhile, there's this feeling like, ah, I'm waiting, I want more, I want deeper. But if you just do it completely open, receive the moment, give everything to the moment in every moment, life still goes on. Your relationships, as you say, could still continue to develop and improve. Your business can develop and improve. Your relationship with your children, your lover, your art, you might become more skillful at masturbation. But none of it needs to fulfill you because you are totally wide open or practicing that openness moment by moment. And that is the basis of your fulfillment. Everything else is an expression of that openness. Your career is the expression, the gifts that you have to give. Your relationship is a domain where you give your deepest gifts in that relationship. And if your partner doesn't give them back, you could either just keep giving them until they learn to give them, or you could move on. But if you expect them to give them back, if you expect the world to reward you for opening, you're also in for big surprise. Most people who have opened have been assassinated, actually. I mean, if you pick anyone from Martin Luther King, who gave great openness politically, Jesus gave great openness religiously, or even yourself, raising your children, you open and give everything to your children, you know, sometimes they appreciate you. So you don't get rewarded necessarily. Sometimes you get rewarded, but you don't necessarily get rewarded for opening. Opening is its own reward. Opening is the fulfillment of your life. There's nothing else to do except now express that opening artfully through all your chosen ways, which is a lifelong and endless development of your arts in your life. The way you live your life is an art. Enjoy it. So, that seems like a good place to stop. You took care of that? Okay. That seems like a good place to stop for now, but I'll open it to any questions and answers that you might have, and we'll see if we go deeper. I'd love to go deeper, and we'll go deeper on Wednesday and on Friday. We'll be meeting here at 6 o'clock on Wednesday and 6 o'clock on Friday. So there'll be some new people, but we'll keep going deeper too, since some of you will be back, and we'll just take it from here. But here we are. So do you have any questions of any kind? They could apply to your individual life. Yes. Did everyone hear his question? His question was, how can you practice? You know, what are some guidelines? Is that a masculine or feminine question in the tone of, everyone wants the answer, but what's the tone of it for him? Very masculine. I mean, and if you could see this guy's face, he doesn't look like he's eating the sweetest fruit in the universe. It looks like he's scaling a wall or something, you know. It looks like he's right on the edge. He's like, he's serious. He wants to know. It's like, well, can you give me some guidelines? You know, he's like, well, where are we going with this? You know, it's just kind of like, and that's the masculine. So, and you clearly have a masculine disposition. Are you in a relationship? A sexual, you know, do you have an intimacy? Or you don't want to say, that's okay. Sure. You are? Okay. That's masculine also, right? Which one? Yeah. Is your partner in the room here? Okay. Is your partner sitting next to you? Okay. You could bet that since you have a masculine essence, clearly, actually a pretty extreme masculine essence, which is, you know, deep on the scale, that she has a feminine essence. Because you always attract your reciprocal. You always attract your opposite. Which means that when she talks, she'll be talking in this kind of loopy fashion compared to how you talk, compared to what you want. And that she wants to feel your depth. She wants to feel your deep presence. She doesn't feel it enough, so she's probably always complaining about it. But anyways, she wants to feel this quality in you. You want to give it to her sometimes, but sometimes it's just tiring because the relationship is nowhere near as important to you as the sense of growth in your own life, spiritual practice. It's part of that. But for one of the things for the masculine is that I'll just stop there. See you guys later. One of the things for the masculine is that your sense of purpose, of mission, of knowing what you're doing in your life and where you're going always takes precedence over your relationship, emotionally. So, in other words, for the masculine, you must know why you're alive and where you're going before you can give yourself in presence and intimacy. If you don't know that, or if you've lost touch with that, or if you've lied to yourself or whatever, and you're not quite living that, then even when you're trying to be present with your partner, she'll feel a lack. She'll feel a lack. And what happens to women when they feel that is they become their own men. They feel the lack in their masculine partner, and they go, well, if he doesn't got it, someone's got to have direction around here. Do you know what I'm talking about? There's a quality of like, well, someone's got to make a decision. You know, someone's got to.
So you're saying that that's not the true essence of a woman, that masculine quality?
It's a true capacity of every man and woman. The question is, when you're absolutely wide open and happy, is that what you want to be doing? So you can answer that for yourself. I mean, each individual needs to answer that for themselves. So if as a woman, during sex, say, because that's an easy way to look at it, because that's the most intimate moment, you want a man who goes, you're in charge, then that's a natural part of your essence. Question answered? Okay. So a woman can be, like you said, here's a very powerful woman. A woman can be extremely strong in her masculine. A woman could be very strong in her directionality. Perhaps because she's never been with a man who did that for her better than she could, so she could relax that part of her. Or maybe she'd prefer to be with a man who doesn't do that so she can do it. Both of those are fine. It's just important to know which it is so you don't live this dissatisfied life where you keep waiting for someone to do something, but really you're pushing that away because you need space to assert your own direction. See, in every relationship, is this okay what we're talking about? Okay. It's okay with the two of you since you started it. We'll get back to your question on practice, but you're kind of like opening it up and coming back because this is going to be your practice, what we're talking about. So, there's only so much room in a relationship for masculine and feminine. If I'm in a relationship and my direction, I assert my direction, I take up the space with my direction, the other person only has a few choices. They could go, okay. Or they could go, no, I want to do this. They could assert, they're like two rams butting head. See, if there's two masculine people in a relationship, you get a fight. You get, who's in charge? You know, last time you decided, this time I'm deciding. You know that quality of trying to decide? Well, that's two masculines. It's not sexually attractive for most people. Most people want to feel that dynamic between the masculine and feminine. On the other hand, masculine people thrive on that as a way to live because masculine people love competition. So at work, there's nothing better than having a totally risky situation where only the best man wins. Or football. I mean, all sports are about that. Even men who love each other, the way men express love is through competition. They're out playing tennis with someone they love, their best friend, and they still try to beat the crap out of each other. And that's the fun of it. You know, you love each other, so you're going to see you could beat the crap out of the other one way or the other. You put two men alone in a room with nothing to do. Like, you got a bare room, and they're just sitting around. You know, there's nothing to read. There's no crossword puzzles to challenge themselves with. There's just nothing. They invent challenges, you know. Bet I could spit farther than you. Exactly. Who could sweat first? I was in the steam room today. Exactly. And that is masculine ecstasy. Now, feminine people go like, yee. Glad I'm not like that or something. But masculine ecstasy is this competition, is this challenge.